I invite your attention today to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I've been inclined to return to familiar passages of Scripture, and I was, again, almost reluctant to do this, but quite often as we are enabled of the Lord, we gain new perspectives or make new applications, and any time we engage the Word of God, we do so with that thought in mind, that it might apply to our present circumstance. And that, of course, may have to do with devotion. It may have to do with worship. It may have to do with the sufferings or with the circumstances that we are called upon to engage. But in any event, I'm just going to read there the first seven verses with a backward look to a few verses out of chapter 10. But in so doing, desiring, of course, that God would bless the reading of His Word and that we might lay hold upon these things to His glory. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Moses, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And I'm going to end the reading there and do so with this, under this title, or with this thought, faith in the beginning. And of course, that reference being made to the fact that the earliest mentions of faith are found in the book of Genesis, and that the exercise of that faith is consistent with what we witness to the testimony of faith in the New Testament, and thus have application in our lives even today. And so, as we would come to those thoughts, we would look there for, what does that have to do with what's going on with me right now? And I've often talked with people and speak to them something about their souls, and they say, oh no, I got saved a long time ago, and although their life was bearing no evidence of it. But it's sort of like the ungrateful recipient of gifts. It's not about what you did for me in the past. It's about what have you done for me today? We turn that around, though, and understand that if indeed you came face to face with the Lord, if you've met the Lord, if you know the Lord, if you've been born again of His Spirit, if you have been brought to that place of ever praising the Lord, then you still are. And if you are not, then something is seriously amiss. Because to be born again of the Spirit of God is to be made a new creation in Christ. And so we're not talking about moving in and out of creation. And even here, we understand, and we're given this, that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were made of things which do not appear. Now then, I want to look at something here that I think it's important, particularly at this point, and that's the matter of transitions in the Scripture. Moving from one chapter to another, we've often mentioned this, that the translators, for perhaps good reasons in many cases, put chapter divisions there, not so much that they wanted to interrupt or hinder the reading of a person, but perhaps even to facilitate it, make it make more sense. But in any event, sometimes we coming to a place here, as I did just now, and began reading the first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, not realizing that if I back up and we read these words quoted from out of the Old Testament scripture in chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now the writer of Hebrews, by way of encouragement, having set forth that contrast, the just live by faith. It's way of life to them. It's not something that they had one time, or it's not something that is an off and on experience. It is a way of life. Paul would say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In other words, that God-given faith. Not only is it that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, but the just walk by faith. And so he then says that and adds by way of encouragement, but we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, again, you say, well, preacher, you just got through saying that you couldn't be, if you were truly born again, you couldn't be lost. And that's exactly what the writer is saying here. We're not of those who draw back away from the idea of some false profession or some false hope or that which is misplaced and misdirected in the way of trust. We're not of them that draw back into the old way of life. And believe me, if it's not of God, it will culminate in returning to what it was from the beginning. And that is, of course, seriously to take into consideration. That's why Peter would say, make your calling and election sure. And he would say, hey, if you do these things, you give attendance to this, and then you shall never fail. It's just simply not going to happen. Because he would go on to say, for it is God, that Paul would say this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're looking for the witness of the operations of the Spirit in us as a matter of assurance. And one way that comes about is in the exercise of faith. So he says, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then we begin chapter 11 with these words, now, having said that, in other words, having talked about the just shall live by faith, now I'm going to tell you what faith is. I'm going to tell you some things about faith. I'm going to give you some examples of faith. I'm going to give you illustrations from the lives of men of faith that will go all the way back to Abel, the firstborn or the secondborn son of Adam, and that will continue down to this present day. And these things then will be sweetly and properly observed. So having said that and seeing that transition, we take care that we just simply don't remove the issue of true faith from that claim of a believing soul. Faith is the way we walk. Now, it's important, if it's that critical, and if the just shall live by his faith, and again, that's quoted from out of the Old Testament scripture, it's quoted in the New Testament a couple of times, and so it becomes very important that we pay attention to that, and it becomes very important that we avoid having any kind of a superficial concept of what real faith is all about. First and foremost, I would say this, that all real faith is addressed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It expresses a true belief and the manner of that belief in what Christ has accomplished, but even before that, who he is, and then to the end that he has given us this faith that we might believe with reference to the saving of our souls. I've heard people talk about saving faith, and I've heard people talk about faith in such a way as to make it sound like that faith had some kind of merit, that it had something about it that all you have to do is just conjure up some faith and just make yourself believe, and this is all there is to it. And again, it's important that we know this. First of all, and we're going to come to especially verse 6 of our text today, that without faith it is impossible to please God, and as we've already read, that the just shall live by his faith. And so the idea of a superficial thought simply being that, well, I believe in God, and by saying that, quite often a person is simply saying, I believe there is a God. Or, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Does that mean that you are daily into it? Does that mean that you're reading it constantly? Does it mean that the words are brought to life to you by the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit? Is it ever anchoring your soul in absolute confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and manifesting a true fellowship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, he said, in no uncertain terms, that where there is that true belief, that both he and the Father will come and dwell in you. And thus it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we honor our God. We honor him triune in his persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we look to them in every aspect of their office. God the Father who decrees, God the Son who has obtained through his own sacrifice, suffering, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and he the Holy Spirit who makes these things to live within us. What a powerful prospect that brings to us. What a powerful, I'm going to say this advisedly, incentive to believe. That's the testimony of the Word of God. And you say, I love the Lord with all my heart. Why? Because he first loved you, because he gave you his nature, because he gave you that ability, because he showed you himself, because he manifested his love toward you, and that he has loved you from all eternity. If he loves you now, he has always loved you. And so it is that as we think upon that, as we reflect upon that, then we look at this first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, having talked about the importance of it and the essentialness, if you will, of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And for by it, the elders obtained a good report, or the old ones, or those that were established in the faith, and perhaps even here, the writer is making reference to those that he's going to talk about. There are several. Not only do we see these three from early on in Genesis, that is Abel, Enoch, and Noah, but we'll go on to see of Abraham, of Moses, of Joseph, and of others. And their faith was manifested by what they did. By faith, Abraham offered his son. He believed God and offered his son. And so we understand just how critical that is. But faith is the substance. It's the ground. It is the confidence. It is the reality given to us. It makes us to know that those things that we see in God, those things we see of God, and seeing God himself, that they are true. He'll come in verse 6 and make the statement that we must believe that he is. And I'll talk some more about it in a few moments. But first of all, this thing of things hoped for. You know, the substance, the matter of faith, of knowing that it is true. What's the difference between faith and hope? How do we differentiate? They're dealt with separately. And I've heard people make the statement, well, hope I make heaven. And that's sort of, that's like wishful thinking. And sometimes the idea of hoping is that which just simply says to us, well, I really desire this outcome. I'm sure it's been said a million times since this pandemic has broken out that, boy, I hope how soon this thing is over. And that's expressing a desire. But when we're talking about biblical hope, then one place the writer says we are saved by hope meaning quite simply that is one thing that is making our salvation real to us. See, okay, preacher, spit it out. Get it on out what you're talking about. The evidence or the substance is these things that are we believe to be true, and the evidence of things hoped for. Hope is that which we believe that we have, not something that we wish to happen, but we are able to look to the Lamb of God. When he said, the scripture says in more places than one, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Then you understand, and we understand in no uncertain terms the meaning of that. And there is a continuous action that is implied in that. And it's so critical that we see that, because so many people are resting in a one-time experience when our confidence is in an ongoing experience and our hope. I spoke with a person just yesterday, and that they know that the end is near. And in talking with them, it was their hope, their expectation. There was no fear. There was complete peace. And, you know, with that thought in mind, I couldn't help but think and go to this passage of scripture and that thought of hope. It's not just that I'm wishing that it happens. I said, I really want to go to heaven. I'm not wishing it happens. My hope is in heaven. Christ is my hope. And the fact that he is in heaven and that I know that he lives and that he lives within my heart, that not only it brings substance, number one, I know that he is there, that he was here, but he has bodily risen, and I've got the testimony of faithful witnesses that they saw him go out. But I've got also, we are encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, read it in Hebrews chapter 12, and we know that from their testimony, and then we've got the witness of the experience of his indwelling in our own hearts. What a precious gift is faith. But it's spiritual, folks. It is that with which we are fully identified in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that with which we see and which we are experiencing the manifestation of that precious truth. And so it's that which was there from the beginning, that which Abel, when he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, it was because he believed God. He took him at his word. And you have to understand that knowing of the promise that was given at the time of the curse being pronounced of the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent, and that being a promise of Christ, that there was an understanding as to how salvation would come. It would come through a sacrifice, through a blood offering. And that was ultimately to be the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There alone is your help. Enoch walked with God, and he had this testimony. He pleased God. And it's interesting that the writer of Hebrews brings that to bear right here. Because in verse 5, when he said, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then adds, and I apologize for the many times that I have quoted verse 6, perhaps without making reference to the testimony of the one who gave the first example of this recorded in Scripture, and that is, without faith, Enoch's faith caused him to be translated. It was through that that God was pleased, and he took him out without him seeing death. But he said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, more definition for faith. We've already read that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But now let's see it in action. What does it address? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And we begin with the being in existence of God. And there we must confess his sovereignty. There we must be aware of his majesty, of the wonders of his glory and of his grace, and that it is he who has determined salvation upon men. Salvation is not an afterthought. It was that which was designed in eternity. And I know we can't wrap our minds around the idea of eternity, but in any event, it was that that was determined in eternity. And so that when we believe that he is, we believe that he is also faithful. We believe that he is truthful. We believe that he will declare himself. We believe that he has done it in the person of his Son. He sent his only begotten Son, God manifest in the flesh, into the world in order to save his people from their sins. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it doesn't say he came to save everybody. He came to save sinners. You say, well, everybody's a sinner, so he must have come to save everybody. The implication there, and Christ makes that clear. He said, they that be whole need not a physician. Is there anybody whole? No, but there's an awful lot of people that think they are. There's a lot of people that are quite satisfied. But we must believe that he is the only wise God. He is the only wise God and our Savior. We must believe that it's he that has designed salvation. It's not your determination. It's not your idea of what salvation is all about. It is that which he has determined. And so, not only that we believe that he is, and we're going to say this without apology, that what is about to be said is exclusive. That is to say, nobody but God. He is a rewarder. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, Christ addressed himself to seekers. And seek the Lord while he may be found. We are bidden to seek him, to look to him. And this we find here. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why are they seeking him? Oh, I want to be blessed with prosperity. I want clothes on my back and food in my belly and all of this. No, that's not what he's after. And he is a rewarder. What does he give them? Well, he gives them salvation. Well, how does he do that? He gives them himself. He gives them himself. And I'm going to read it to you or quote it to you one more time, although you've heard it 1,000 times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to what he is saying. He gave in faith. He gave them with faith. He gave him to them with faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he is our exceeding. Abraham was told, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What did God give? What does he give to the seeker? He gives himself. He gives himself to them in salvation. He gives himself to them in that way. Oh, you say, but we're saved by grace. And yes, it is. You know, well, I don't understand it. I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm going to tell you, you must be born again. But where there the beginnings of life are manifested, so are is faith from the very beginning. Repentance toward God. Paul said, this is what I testified of. He said it to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, that I have been faithful and I have reported to you and I have preached to you of repentance toward God, coming to the end of yourself and knowing there's hope in no other, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's not a shallow belief about the fact that a man named Jesus lived. It is that whereby we lay hold upon him, that our lives are lived in full trust, full submission, full surrender unto him. And this is how the just shall walk by his faith. And this is how we have by faith the substance, the reality of things hoped for. This is those things that we believe that we have, and that we have it in Jesus Christ, assured because he is there. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oh, that the Lord might grant you that you, if you do not know him today, would fall upon his mercy and trust, fall completely upon him, surrender to his care, surrender to him in every way. You have no hope of redemption apart from the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. May the Lord bless you, everyone, just now is my prayer. Brother Ernie, would you dismiss us?
Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us. We thank you for the word that we just received from our pastor, Lord, from you, sent through him. And Father, we believe, help thou our unbelief, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, continue to bless our pastor and his family, keep him strong, Lord, both physically and in thy word. Father, we pray for our community, for our state, and for our nation. We especially pray for our church family, for our extended families, for our children, our grandchildren, any that don't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we pray that you would go with us as we depart this place. Lead us and guide us. Let thy light, thy word be a light unto our feet. Lead us in the way that you would have us to go. All these things we pray in the name that's above all, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for his sake, amen.